And welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico, and joining me is...
Scotty Hertz of the Tech Chair. I don't know, I still haven't come up with a thing, so... Scotty Hertz with you today on this glorious day in March. No, I sound like I'm about to host a religious show of some kind, so... Are you feeling the political spirit, people,
Let's just assume that they are.
Yeah.
Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Just go to cfru.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen, and you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast from Podbean on the Guelph Politicast channel or subscribe through iTunes. Today, we will look at allegations in the conservative leadership race of fake people buying fake memberships and the mudslinging that followed. Is the race just hitting its ugly phase, or is there real cause for concern that the new conservative leader may not be legitimate? And then we will talk about the federal budget that was introduced this time yesterday in the House of Commons. And to help us parse the line items and fiscal promises, we will be joined on the line from Ottawa by Guelph MP Lloyd Longfield, and we'll ask him, what's the deal? And then finally, we will go back into rebel hell territory, where it seems like there's dissension in the ranks. Laura Southern has abandoned the website for Greener Pastures, and Garth McInnes, once the godfather of hipsters, has become the pride of white supremacists. So what the heck's going on with the rebel?
Yeah.
But before the first topic, we do have, as we sometimes do, tickets to give away. As you heard, perhaps just before the show started, Just for Laughs Roadshow is coming to Guelph on March the 30th at 8 p.m. at the River Run Center. This is Michael Kostya, Yanis Pappas, K. Trevor Wilson, and Sabrina Jalise. They will be in town to make you laugh and make you think. I can't promise the second part, but, you know, maybe. Anyway,
depends
we have
the bars open.
We have a pair of tickets. The first caller gets them. Just call 519-837-CFRU. And the first caller gets a pair of tickets to the Just for Laughs Roadshow on March 30th at 8 p.m. at the River Run Center. Just give us your name and phone number, and you'll be able to pick up those tickets at the box office.
The operator is standing by.
Operators are standing by.
It's not us.
But yeah, because it's not us.
Because we've got to talk about other things.
Exactly. So the first topic is Jason Kenney, who you may recall from the federal government under the Harper administration. He has secured his destiny in last weekend's vote for the Alberta Progressive Conservative leadership. He is now the leader of the PCs of Alberta, but for how long? That is the question, Scotty, as both he and Brian John seem to be hitting the ground running, talking about merging the PCs and the Wild Rose.
Yeah, it looks like handshakes all around. It sounds like there are merger talks going on. To what degree, we don't know yet, but there's the rumor is, or it's been said, there's a draft unity agreement on tap.
Mm.
So not sure who has drafted that, whether it's White Rose or the Conservatives, Alberta Conservatives, or a combination of both. So it looks like the dream of the United Right is happening in Alberta. Stick it to those socialists. Oh, my goodness. damn you, Rachel Notley, and your high approval rating. Oh, anyway. So, yes, Jason Kenney's dream is sort of coming true. I think it sounds like he's being very positive about it. He made an interesting comment in the news, one of the interviews he had. He said that, you know, the Wild Rose and us vote on the same things together 90% of the time, and anything that's an amendment, we vote together 100% of the time. So in his view, it's why don't we unite? There are plenty of reasons, I suppose, not to. One is that in a fiscal sense, the Wild Rose are doing a lot better than the Conservatives and they have more money. And that may be a bit of a sticking point. Now, Kenny also said, which I found very interesting, he seemed to hint that there's some in Alberta, parties have to dissolve before they can merge. That seems to be the law there. Kenny was kind of hinting that he's got legal advice that there's a possibility that there is another option. I don't know what that would be. I mean, why not dissolve and become the Reform Party or whatever that you want to be? Yeah, revive an old dead name. Because, I mean, that seems to be what Kenny really wants. I mean, he is Harper. I was going to say Harper residue, but that's not really fair. Or residual Harper member who is probably even more. Yeah, that's Well, I've knocked him down with that one. I meant to say residual Harper member. And
I don't think that's better.
No, it's not really. Well, because there's this echo of them. Like, Jason, not Jason, Moore appeared. Like, people are appearing from those days and giving commentary. They're not involved in politics anymore, presumably. James Moore. There's these people kind of coming to the surface again, John Baird, to talk about this who aren't really involved in politics anymore. So the Harper, let's call it the Harper echo, is still there.
That's better.
Kenny, it's better than residue sounds. So I apologize for that. I didn't really mean to say that. Well, maybe not. So anyway, he's taking this the model to Alberta. But the thing with Kenny, too, is that he's also dragging it further to the right. Now, whether that is to appease or please the Wild Rose types, or is it just to go get back to that super right-wing base, not alt-right, but we'll talk about that in a bit, to sort of appeal to that uber right-wing mindset, I guess, in Alberta that tends to make people vote conservative and Wild Rose and reform and social credit and all those things that we see out west that we don't really see here. Well, except for conservative, but ours seem to be a little more.
Well, there's a lot of weird stuff at work. Like he came out and said, like, this is the beginning of the end of the disastrous socialist government, which, you know, kind of like right out of Trumpism. It's the thing about trying to reunite all the right-wing factions all together under the same big tent seems to be kind of fraught with peril if we're looking to get the south of the border to see what direction that heads, where you have like red Tories and the ultra-right and the moderately right, you know, kind of all together. When you have the whole spectrum together, it's hard to bring it all together. And yeah, it's all sunshine and roses today because I think they have a common enemy in Rachel Notley. But let's not forget that there was a previous, I guess, I don't know how, if you would call it a full attempt, but, you know, maybe a half attempt to, you know, remember when there was that, like, that mass defection when all but three Wild Rose people crossed the...
Yeah, it was like under Smith, Danielle Smith. Yeah. It was like 11? Was it 11? It was a sizable number anyway.
Yeah. And then none of those people were able to get on the PC ticket for 2014? 2015?
Was it 2014? It's not that long. Yeah.
Yeah. So none of those people were able to, like, they were all out of a job. I mean, a lot of them were out of a job anyway because of how the election, you know, panned out.
Yeah.
But they weren't able to get back on the ticket. I do wonder, though, if the... How carefully, what you said, when they have like a kind of constitution in the works already, how differently this is going to pan out, because Jason Kenney isn't even, you know, shopping for a seat. He isn't even looking at the caucus. I mean, it's a small conservative caucus now. They're the third place party. But he's like saying, well, I'm not going to be asking anyone to step aside so I can run for their seat. I'm going to be doing the PC leadership thing outside the legislature until 2019, and then maybe I'll run for a seat, and by then I might not be leader. But and then he even said, like, I do fully intend to run for a seat, whether or not I'm leader or not, that is my intention. So it kind of seems like things are further along than we might assume. But I mean, I think the bigger question is it's going to be grassroots versus establishment, and despite what the PCs might think, they are seen by a lot of the Wild Rose folks as establishment. The Wild Rose sees themselves as progressive, and I think there's like a caveat where 75% of the Wild Rose members have to approve anything. So that's going to be really tricky to convince all those people who's, you know, for whatever reason, put the establishment in the rear view to say, hey, come back and rejoin with the establishment. And I do wonder if hating Rachel Notley is enough.
Yeah, it's a good question, because I'm, you know, Kenny takes it from the, you know, absolutely, he's going to repeal absolutely everything the NDP have done. It could be the best legislation in the world about something ever. It could lean to the right. He's just like, no. Which would include pipelines, because if sort of given the thumbs up to that, it'd be like, no. Doctor, no, should call him. But and it sounds like the conservatives have to decide as well. It's not just resting in the Wild Rose, and they it'll probably be some kind of referendum. At least this is what Kenny is talking about, with a simple majority, which is 50+1, or a convention, which is probably more likely, because they'll want the visuals, I think, of a convention.
Yeah.
And that would involve also getting, hopefully getting Wild Rose people to participate. And then that will sort of give the aura, or at least maybe reveal the truth as to how many of the Wild Rose are actually interested in this, right? So, and it was because he talked about conservative and free market voters. And I'm not sure if he meant he was trying to use another term for Wild Rose, or he sort of meant people that are out there that are of the conservative fold that just vote for either conservative or Wild Rose.
Mm.
I just thought that was a really weird way to put it. It's like, let's put this corporate stamp on something that, you know, isn't necessarily that. Free market voters. It's like, it sounded ridiculous. Mm. And in his speech there, you can see where he's coming from, because he quoted Ralph Klein in his acceptance speech. Mm. But it wasn't the drunk Ralph Klein. It was something pithy that Ralph Klein might have said. It wasn't, get a job, you bums. But, you know, that's there too as well, right? I think that I just get that, a whiff of that from him, that he wants to take it back to that. Because he's known as I hate to use the word zealot, but he's very firm in his beliefs in terms of he's a black and white kind of guy, I think, about abortion. There doesn't seem to be any leeway. I mean, even with Harper and the abortion question, it was like, okay, we're just not going to talk about it. Whereas guys like Kenny are very like, it's absolutely wrong. Mm. Was he involved? Was it the Canadian Taxpayers Association, right? Mm-hmm. He cut his teeth with them for a bit. He's pretty much a career politician, though.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, but he's done the whole, I mean, Canadian Taxpayers Association, regardless of what they tell you, is a political outfit.
It is.
It's quasi, you know, only
the board members can vote for, you know, endeavors and changes. I mean, there was like kind of an expose about them recently, and somebody called them, like, they're basically a Facebook group where you pay dues.
Yeah, because do you know a member? I don't know. We had this discussion before with the Canadian Federation of Independent Business or whatever they're called. It's like, I don't know. I saw a sticker once in a store and it was old, and I'm like, maybe somebody sent them a sticker. They said, put this in your window. But yeah, it's one of those organizations where I was like, we don't know. I think I wouldn't say more of the same, but we are going to see the rerun here of the Harper years. And actually more so going back a bit to the Preston Manning years. It reminds me more so of that, because that was the whole thing for years with Reform and the Conservatives. Like, do we merge? Yes, we will. And there was a bit of horse trading going on there to get that to happen. I believe we're going to see that. I don't believe Kenny when he says, oh, I'll be fine if somebody else is the premier. You know, I don't believe that for a second, but that's his line right now, subject to change with or without notice. And he's saying he isn't going to run for a seat, but I can bet you if like two or three become available for whatever reason, he will definitely run. I don't believe
I
don't believe it.
There's a couple of things going forward. A, can they just merge without having to dissolve? Because Elections Alberta says, they have to dissolve and then turn over all assets to Elections Alberta. They can't just merge.
None of them will like that at all.
Nobody's going to like that.
Take my
two
money.
Is the Wild Rose in its entirety going to come along? Because I think the Wild Rose is one of those parties where you have to get everybody, because if you even leave like a couple of people, then that's enough to build the party again from. Because, you know, keep in mind, again, they lost, or they, everybody in the caucus before the last election crossed the floor except for, you know, three or four people. Mm-hmm. And then they came right back. They're official opposition now.
Yeah. So
it's kind of one of those, you have to convert them all, or, you know, you're back to square one.
That's conversion. It's Wild Rose or nothing, or whatever the new entity is.
Well, it's true.
Absolutely.
And then there's the timeline. They want to get this done by October because they think that Rachel Notley might go early. The next election would be 2019. But I guess they think if she's in trouble, then she might go early to try and catch people off guard. I don't see Rachel Notley necessarily doing that.
No.
And if oil still hasn't bounced back like this time next year, you know, it wouldn't be in her interest too anyway.
Oil's tanking pretty badly right now, isn't it? Like, it's a little bit of a blip.
I don't know what the numbers are, but yeah.
Late 50s, like that's where you start losing money on tar sands.
But yeah,
right about that point.
You're right about listening to Kenny talk. He wants to go back in time to when, you know, Alberta was making money hand over butt from oil, where you could be, you know, as conservative as you want to be, and you can like keep taxes super low, and you don't have to worry about government spending, and you don't have to worry about sales taxes, because he said like right out, no sales tax, nuh-uh, no carbon tax, nuh-uh. And you know, that may, that's great when you're in the middle of an oil boom, but you know what, there hasn't been a boom for a couple of years, bro.
Yeah, it's not like the days when Ralph Klein was just giving people money. It's like, here's your check just because you're an Albertan.
Happy birthday, here's your check.
Here's your check.
Happy
Take
Monday,
it.
Here's your check.
But, you know, Kenny made a good point just from a numbers standpoint as well, in that he said that in the last election that the Wild Rose got 28% overall, and the Prentice PCs, who were reviled, I guess, out of office, got 24%. So if you're just going by those numbers, you put that together, like the place is pretty much yours. And if I got it right that Brian Jean was also a Harper MP?
Mm-hmm.
I have no visual of him being in Ottawa.
No, he was a straight-up backbencher.
Right. So
like Patrick Brown.
Oh, exactly. So of the same.
Yeah.
They both have great hair, too. So,
Speaking of...
Okay, we this just in. Lloyd Longfeld will not be joining us on the show.
Oh.
He has to be present for a vote in the House of Commons. Well, obviously that takes priority over us. And there was him on the line with a.
He called personally. Ringing.
We thought it was somebody calling to get the tickets, but it was Lloyd. So, sorry, listeners, Lloyd won't be joining us, but we're going to hold him to it that he'll be on in a future date.
Oh, yeah, he'll be on.
He'll be on.
He'll come on. He called personally.
Yes,
so
it was nice for him to call. Thanks, Lloyd. I know you're not listening. You're getting ready for a vote in the House of Commons.
You might listen later on the podcast.
But I love getting the this just in notice here. I didn't make the noise. This just in. So, yes. Sorry, folks, if you're expecting a gripping interview with Lloyd, it's not going to happen.
Glad I researched the budget now.
Yes, me too. See, we do our homework, people. You think we're just sitting here sort of saying stuff? There's a lot of homework involved with this show.
Yeah, we'll have Lloyd by, and I mean we had him in. I think it was almost this time last year we had him by. So
he's
you know,
busy fellow.
Busy guy.
We appreciate that he called.
And you know what? We'll plug some Lloyd stuff because he's doing a budget town hall. I'm going to call that up on Politico. Hold on a sec. Stall for time.
Stall for time. Wax on about Lloyd coming to the show. Yes, as you know, guests can't always make it. That's probably the most interesting excuse somebody's given for not.
Okay, I got
and
it.
And maybe the best excuse somebody's given us for not making it, other than I don't know. So
Lloyd Longfield's got a budget town hall at the Evergreen Senior Center at 683 Woolwich Street on Tuesday. That's this coming Tuesday. It is at 7:30 in the morning, so you'll have to get up early.
Oh,
but I mean, for
goodness.
Those of you that work. And you know, have a 9-to-5-er that works out pretty well for you. He will then be, and this is really interesting. He's going to be debating Nathan Cullen next Thursday
here
at.
In Guelph.
Let me finish.
What? Really? What?
Did you hear my excitement there? I'm like, what debate? Wow!
At the Civic Museum.
Oh.
On 52 Norfolk Street. So he will be. It'll be on electoral reform.
Hmm.
I'm not sure debate's the right word. That was what I got from the NDP mailer.
Chat.
But yeah, because Lloyd isn't like against it, but...
his party seems to be.
Well, it's certainly his leader. Anyway, and then Lloyd will be having another town hall a week from tomorrow. No, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So it's Friday, April the 7th. And it is at 1 p.m. in the University Center courtyard. He will be here with Health Minister Jane Philpott. And it'll be on mental health.
Wow, so a lot's happening.
Yes, there is a lot.
So I have to take the notepad and get out there.
Well, I will.
And since I work, well, we'll see. I'm not about the 7:30 one because I start at 8, so I can go for 10 minutes and then say, I gotta go.
Anyway, so we'll shimmy on, onward and upward. The next topic, which is actually about conservative leaders. So they discovered, and it was about this time last week, Kevin O'Leary started talking about fraudulent memberships in the party. And this is so weird because everyone's immediate thought was Trump playbook, Trump playbook, Trump playbook.
Yes.
But it turns out it was right. 1,351 members of the Conservative Party that have been bought recently in order to take part in the leadership election came from one of two IP addresses. And you know what? This smelled like straight up poutine to me.
Oh, as soon as they announced it and they said, okay, one or two IPs and then a prepaid card. And it's like, this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But the interesting part to me is like, how did he know? Who knew what when?
That is interesting.
Because it's like, oh, I think there's vote rigging going on. Oh, I think there's fake members. How did you know that? And then coming from the other camps, in particular, Maxime Bernier, who's ahead, was like, O'Leary's a loser. He's losing trust. Kelly Leach is like, you just put up or shut up with this. Everybody chiming in on it. And I think it was Lisa Raitt called it. Somebody called it a publicity stunt just to get attention. And then it turns out there are these faux members. So how did he know and when did he know it? So that's going to be interesting. I'm sure we'll never know. It'll never be announced. It'll be like robocalls. It could be Putin-esque behind it.
Putin-esque.
Poutine and Pierre Poutine and the robocall gang, possibly. Shades of, for sure. So, I don't know. 1,300 members might not seem like much in the scheme of things. But when you've got 14 people running, and I believe there's something like 100,000 card-carrying conservatives in the country, it could potentially make a difference if it was a close race. Between, let's say, Bernier and O'Leary. We don't know that yet, but it sounded like those two are definitely front runners. So I guess they have until the end of the week to sort it out. It's the 28th, I believe, and then they can. And then the lockdown comes on.
Deadline for sales is for membership sales is 28th. So what is that? Next Wednesday?
Well, soon enough. Mm-hmm. Yes, if that.
No.
23rd, Tuesday. There you go. So Rona Ambrose made the comment. She said that, well, it doesn't really matter because whoever votes has to submit like a photocopy of their ID or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how difficult it would be to put together 1,300 IDs, but that's not even the point. It's like, who's behind it? Where is it coming from? Is it agitators? Is it? I don't know, man.
Well, that's the – I mean – It just smells like robocall all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And
so is it coming from inside the house?
But then here's the other thing that the Globe discovered, the Globe and Mail, that a man named Ron Chaffa, who is the president of the Brampton East Riding Association, was apparently offering people straight up to pay for their memberships with the prepaid credit card.
Oh, so they do have a suspect, let's say.
Well, this is the thing. This guy was a Kevin O'Leary supporter, still is. So it's kind of weird that, you know, you have this Bernier accusing O'Leary, O'Leary accusing Bernier, and they're both, it almost seems like they're both kind of guilty. I mean, nothing's for sure, but, you know, it makes you wonder because of that information and the tip-off coming from O'Leary.
I mean, maybe they've not come up with it independently as a technique to get more bodies on side, but 1,300 coming from 2IP sounds like somebody, you know, toiling away in the basement, like an actual conspiracy as opposed to somebody who maybe doesn't know that, oh, you don't have any money, I can sign you. What is it? It's negligible. Isn't it like $15 or something? Like who could...
Something like that. I think it's 25.
So, maybe because it's that low rate, they figured they can shell out the money and try and influence the race. Whoever they are, and that, I mean, jeez.
But it stinks. I mean, you may think that 1,300, you know, fake members doesn't matter. But you got to wonder, A, those are the ones they found. And B, you got 14 candidates in a race, you know, that in a political party... I don't know how many members the Conservative Party has, but, you know, they get an average of, let's say, 36-39% support in an election. Mm-hmm. Not all of those people are Conservative members.
No, not all the members will vote either.
So you're talking about maybe a couple of million people?
As far as I understand, it's 100,000 paid up across Canada.
Oh, okay. There you go. So, okay, that makes it even worse. 100,000.
Yeah.
Probably not all of them are going to participate in the leadership vote to begin with. 14 leadership candidates. This could be turned by 1,300 people.
Could be turned by 20 votes. That's the thing.
Sure.
Because it's so diluted, right? It's just going to be like the Trosts and the, you know, whoever else. We can't even name all of them. There's so many.
We like
them. Will any of them drop out before the deadline? I don't know. I don't think so. I think they all seem to be like very determined to be involved with it. So it's, I don't know. Like, I can't believe we're back at this already after like going over and over robocalls. Like, yes, we're going to fix it. Yes, we're going to look into it. What's interesting too is I wonder why Bernier is only dealing. It seemed like he was only dealing with the Globe and Mail with a sworn affidavit, right? It was like saying he only wanted to give it to them. I guess maybe he figures he has some support from them editorially or something.
Maybe.
And And now it sounds like they're not. He's not going to share anything with anybody. It's like, we're not going to comment to the media anyway. I think it's Corey Tenike, actually, is back. There's another blast from the past.
Yeah, he's Bernier's... I don't think he's a campaign manager, but he's a
handler,
a higher up.
Or something.
He's a higher up with the Bernier campaign.
So once again, I was saying the ghosts of Harper, it's all, they're all back. They never left. You thought it was over. It ain't over. So, but I guess it's for them to sort out and decide who their leader is. I don't know. Are there any events coming? I haven't heard anything about debates. I did hear that O'Leary, Skyped into Winnipeg, and people were like, well, why couldn't he make it? It sounds like he was actually weather delayed, because if you saw the picture, he was given the delivery from like the lounge.
Well, okay. Well, that's the key thing about O'Leary is that he's not even here in Canada running.
So
like
he
jets in for events and then jets out again. I'm glad you brought up about the next debate, because I will actually, I don't know if it's a debate, like one of the official debates, but I will be there because I did get official RSVP.
Nice.
So it's at the Eglinton Theater a week from Sunday. It's called like I guess it's more of a forum, but Joe Oliver is going to be moderating.
Wow.
So that's...
we're expecting a full report.
Yeah. So yeah, I found out about that at the beginning of the week, and then I RSVP'd to get it, but apparently they were full up. But apparently the room was made, because I got a confirmation last night. So I will be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
And if you'd like to subsidize Adam's trip, go to Guelph Politico and follow the links to subsidize Adam's trip. No, he doesn't have a link to that. But
well, I do have a Patreon, but for Guelph Politico,
true Patreon. Couldn't hurt. I'm just saying, folks.
No, it couldn't. It couldn't hurt. It always helps.
Prepaid cards are accepted.
That's right. Presto, my Presto card
we'll
doesn't fill itself.
We'll sign you up as open sources members.
But you know, I don't make anywhere near Rebel Media money. We're going to be talking about Rebel Media later in the show. I just have a quick update about Lloyd. He did send us a tweet. He said, sorry, conservatives trying to adjourn debate on budget, pulled an emergency vote, and that starts in 20 minutes. Hashtag duty calls. So that's
we got a tweet as well as a phone call. I feel so futuristic.
That's the reason.
You can't skip that one, probably.
Can't skip it. Yeah,
just
it's pretty
to talk
important.
To us.
Yeah, even though we're pretty important, too.
Oh, wow.
So we'll have to talk about the budget ourselves, and there is quite a lot to talk about.
Oh,
and,
my God, it's endless, yes.
We'll take a break here, and we will return in a moment. You are listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Otis, and you are listening to CFRU 93.3 FM.
That was Richard LaViolette from his new album, Taking the Long Way Home. Richard, local person, and happen to know the guy, too. He's an absolute gent. Anyway, he's playing in Kazoo Fest 2017. There's a whole plethora of bands, both local and looks like international. Next week, 2 weeks. What's the date, Adam, again?
April 5th and the 9th.
April 5th to 9th. More information, visit kazookazoo.ca. Tell you everything you need to know.
Oh, and Brad McInerney, who organizes Kazoo, he'll be on the Guelph Politicast next week, so stay tuned for that.
Oh.
So there you go.
Is that about Kazoo? Or?
Yeah, it's about Kazoo.
It might have been about Northern Irish politics. McInerney.
I don't think that's what it would be about.
No, okay. Just wondering.
I just want to, you know, give a shout out to the Guelph Politicast channel where we do have the open sources podcast version because we are at almost 7,000 total downloads of all time.
Yeah.
And we've had almost 1,000 downloads the last 3 months. So, I mean, we're kind of reaching like, these are definitely record numbers because I keep an eye on the statistics. So, like, please keep, if you listen to the podcast version of the show, please download it because that helps us out a lot in terms of gauging the metrics and the feedback for the show. Before proceeding, I just want to remind you again when the phone rang before.
Yeah, Lloyd got the tickets. I don't know.
Maybe.
Is it possible?
But yeah, we do have a ticket giveaway right now. Just for Laughs Roadshow, March 30th at 8 p.m. at the River Run Center. That is 1 week from tonight. Michael Costa, Yanis Pappas, K. Trevor Wilson, and Sabrina Jollies. I hope I got her name right. I hope I got all the names right, actually. But yeah, we have one pair of tickets. If you call the station right away, you will get them. We will get your name and your phone number, and we will make sure they are waiting for you at the box office. That is Just for Last Roadshow, March 30th at 8 p.m. at the River Run Center. Call now at 519-837-CFRU, and those tickets are yours. Speaking of comedy, the federal budget was dropped yesterday. I kid. But yeah, we're going to have Lloyd Longfield on to talk about it. And unfortunately, the conservatives pulled an emergency something or other. And
duty called.
Yeah, hashtag duty calls. And so we have to proceed without Lloyd's feedback, but that's okay. Just to go over some of the highlights, it wasn't like a huge budget like last year where there was a ton of spending and all these changes and stuff. It seems to be like geared towards innovation mostly. There's a lot of grant money for startups, for clusters, for super clusters. That was something I wanted to ask Lloyd. What is a super cluster?
Yeah, I think there seemed to be a lot of jargony things coming.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned the sectors, the six sectors: digital, clean tech, agri-food, which will obviously involve this institution and Guelph itself, advanced manufacturing, which I think is robots, bio-sci, which also will include this institution for sure, and clean resources. Now, all of that sounds very great, right? It's like, oh, that's all happen and stuff, not just manufacturing, but advanced manufacturing. But yeah, I wanted a bit more meat as to what that actually means. I sort of know, but the impression I got was it's like, okay, we're gonna give these innovators, more code words, we're going to give these innovators money. So it sounds to me like a P3. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to set it up so we can get Canadians involved, the middle class, because the budget is actually called something middle class. I should know this off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I thought Lloyd was going to say it and then we could riff on that. But it's something about the middle class, which is like, does it exist anymore? That's a philosophical question. But yeah, the super clusters, $950 million?
Yeah.
Again, to me, it's a buzzword. And I guess if I understand superclusters right, it's sort of getting these sectors together. And I think Guelph is actually ripe for this, where there's a intersection of say something like, let's take manufacturing and bio-sci. Mm-hmm. You know, you're making car panels out of soybeans, and we're going to give you money to do that, and you're going to build a whole industry around it.
Can you make car panels out of soybeans?
They do that on campus.
Really?
Yeah, that I think that something like that is almost exactly. And, you know, don't get the wrong impression for it, because I don't know whether that money is specifically coming to the university. But I think that's the kind of things they're talking about, because that involves sort of clean resources. You can recycle it, no problem. Bio-sci, it's very, very advanced manufacturing, because it involves things like 3D printing and blah, blah, blah. It may cover all six of those. Agri-food, it's soybeans. Can I get all six? Clean tech, well, car's not the cleanest, but it's an electric car maybe. And digital, of course. Everything's digital. It's a digital.
The budget is called strengthening the middle class.
Strengthening the middle class.
Strengthening the middle class.
Because I think Bill Morneau said middle class about 43 times yesterday.
Yeah, and then both the Conservatives and the NDP came out and said it doesn't help the middle class enough with one side tax cuts, one side government assistance. But there you go. What's interesting about the startups thing is that I actually had a conversation with somebody about this last night. I was actually here at the U of G. Apparently, and I don't know because I'm not a business person, but apparently the university's startup support here isn't as great as it is in Waterloo. There seems to be, you know, we seem to be a bit behind in that. I mean, we hear a lot about talking about lucky ironfish, but that seems to be like the exception rather than the rule in terms of...
Lucky ironfish to me is more of a Dragon's Den vendor, right, rather than something bigger that creates industry and jobs. And it's a great thing, don't get me wrong, but... We do hear a lot about it because, well, it's a success story, right? But
it's a success, no question. But the what this guy was, who I was having this conversation with, was talking about was that this is kind of the exception rather than the rule. That if for taking university research and endeavors and then flipping them and turning them into successful enterprises, the U of G is not quite up to snuff yet as compared to some place like U of Waterloo.
Yes, but there is a massive, massive builds going on campus. I don't know if everyone's aware of this. We've ended up talking about the university, but of course, this is where we broadcast from. But there is a lot of cash coming to the university to build infrastructure that I would predict is possibly going to integrate some of these things, whether it was in not cahoots, but, you know, whether they saw this coming or not, but there's money in the pipeline for that kind of stuff. So, you know, that may change here. And of course, the secondary effect would be that it will affect Guelph as a whole as well. Maybe we will become a center for innovation and superclusters and every buzzword ever. So buzzword town. No, but that's that's where they're headed. It's as you're saying, there wasn't really a lot of new money. What I wanted to ask Lloyd, and maybe you know this, that $3 billion of this $29.5 billion is a buffer. And I was trying to sort of feel out what does that do? Like, why not just, why does it have to be that big? Is the buffer going to cause or pay for incidentals? Is it sort of like a rainy day? $3 billion is a massive rainy day fund if that's what it is. I just wasn't really clear.
Well,
because if you wanted the number to be inherently smaller, why would you tack another $3 billion on and call it the buffer?
Well, I think they may be thinking about something like the Fort McMurray fire.
Oh, that could be.
Because something of that would be massive. Like,
but
if
it's wide open, though. You could throw that money at anything and be like, infrastructure and all these other things. They're going to pay for it with my beer tax. No, I don't. I haven't really heard too much hoopla about it. You hear anybody complain about 5 cents on a 2-4?
5 cents on my 2-4!
Buy a 2-4. I don't know. People buy 2-4s, I suppose, but well, it is the Canadian way.
If you're having a party, you probably buy a 2-4.
Well, yeah, but it used to be like that could be all, that was all you could buy. Now it's like cans and there's so many craft beers. Maybe craft beer is considered innovation as well. Maybe we're going to have a brewery on every corner. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. We're almost there, I think, in Guelph. But,
pretty close.
The $3 billion buffer, I think that's kind of what it's intended for. I think the Liberals are playing a bit of patty cake there because I know that the Conservatives took a lot of crap when they cut the rainy day fund, the contingency spending. Or the contingency funding in their last budget in order to get out of the red and into the black and have their magical $100 million surplus. So, you know, maybe that's what they're playing at, and maybe they're preparing for a worse deficit because the deficit numbers aren't as good as they promised back in the fall.
No,
so that could be it. One of the things I found curious: $125 million. For a pan-Canadian AI agency, artificial intelligence agency, and it's on. They put out a press release for it, and it's basic. And it says, "The government of Canada is funding a pan-Canadian artificial intelligence strategy for research and talent that will cement Canada's position as a world leader in AI." So I guess we're building HAL 9000,
and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to appear in the middle of Wyndham Street and emerge naked and
that's
run.
That's right. Yeah.
That's probably what's going to happen.
He's going to walk. That's right.
Something like that.
And there's
call to John. Call to Justin. It's a good thing he spent that money on. We got completely carried away there, but
anyway,
it's possible.
We did get a little.
Yeah, that is interesting money. It's like, I don't know. They should probably spend it giving everybody in Canada.
And then
the
on
internet,
top of that, there's $50 million for kids to learn coding, which is, you know.
Again, that's more, to me, that's more buzzy stuff. You see all the time, it's like, kids need to learn code. Kids need to learn code. It's like, okay, yeah, okay.
Well, sure. What's interesting is.
Let's get
is,
kids to learn code, but then what?
But what's interesting is the library, I think, teaches coding. Like Jeez. One, like on, or like one Sunday every month, like kids
it's
coding
like people
kids.
People used
or
to go to catechism or language school. Now they go to code school on a Sunday.
Code school, that's right.
Because code is the future.
And then the other thing is Uber They're putting GST on Uber.
So that's them sort of validating Uber in a way. It's like rather than sort of like, well, we have this little thing going on. It's I'm sure Uber will. Was any comment come from Uber about that?
I don't
that,
believe so. But I mean, it, I don't
think
willing
it's willing to suck it up.
I don't think it's uncommon. I think a lot of places because that's,
so what's next? Provincial tax then, right? It's only a matter of time.
Probably.
It's like if the feds can tax it, so can we. But then you're then you're validating it. All these places that are keeping Uber at bay. It's like, well, that's what it'll be. It's like, well, we pay taxes, so.
Right.
I still think they suck, but that's just my view.
But, yeah, so it was funny because I did see one conservative commentator say, so we have a budget that's like fostering innovation and like giving all this money for startups, and then you know the one like the one of the most profitable and well-known startups we tax, boom. They do kind of make a point there, but
yeah, and other points, they've killed off the Canada savings bond, so,
and the transit tax credit.
Yes, what do you think of that as a transit rider? And like, did you ever claim that?
I claimed it every year.
You did, yes. Yeah.
So last 2 years, though, I was sent a thing from Revenue Canada saying, oh, can you prove that you actually claim this tax, which kind
of
ticked
me off.
Here's
a picture of me on the 2A. I don't know. Like, what do you...
Well, you send them photocopies of your passes.
Oh.
The passes count as receipts.
Right.
So, I consider it because you probably get, like, it was like, what, 15%? So you get like $15 back on every pass. So you get like maybe $100-some-odd back.
But do you not have to be in a certain tax bracket to get that?
Sure.
So, I mean, people who are on either side of that don't really... I'm thinking in particular poorer people who...
I'm not a rich man, Scotty.
No, I know that, but you're not... You're not destitute, though, right?
No, I'm not destitute.
I'm talking about somebody on... you're not on the benefits.
Well, there
He's not on the social, folks. He makes
Guelph,
a living at this.
The city of Guelph does have also...
Subsidized.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yes.
Subsidized bus passes.
Yeah.
So there's that, and I'm sure those people are allowed to claim that on their taxes to a better rate. But yeah, I do pay the full adult rate for my bus passes, which means I get that money back. Will I miss that money? Yes, I'm going to miss that $100. Will I miss having to prove it every freaking year? Like CRA seems to think I should have
prove
to.
Prove it.
It's like, isn't it good enough that I take this. The bus? Like, aren't there bigger tax cheats than the guy who's claiming 12 bus passes a year? Come on, it's like the only deduction I make.
I would just send them the actual pass. Never mind the damn photocopies. Like, well, you want my pass? Here's my pass.
Well, I don't want to lose my passes, and then they send
them. Oh no,
they're lost in the mail. No, that's not what I want. But I would be angry about it, but only for the reason that it's like the only deduction I make. I don't have kids. I don't have school anymore. I don't have, you know.
So the one thing that you were claiming that was pretty
cool.
It's the
one thing I can claim. I don't, like.
And it was a Harper initiative, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there you go. So it wasn't all bad, I guess.
We'll leave that there because I think we don't. I don't think we've ever left it on a nice thing we've said about Harper before.
Yeah. So then there was the Nazis.
Yeah.
Or alt-Nazis or whatever they are now. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about the rebel media because we've been talking a lot about the alt-right period, and this is kind of like the Canadian wing of it.
Breitbart North, I heard the other day.
Sure. So Faith, not Faith Goldie, Lauren Southern, who was kind of the Tommy Lahren of Canada. I mean, as long as we're comparing stuff to other people.
Everybody in Canada has their equivalent.
But
in
the
US,
she's, you know,
international.
You know, young blonde girl who was at UBC. I think that was her university. She was kind of well known for making a racket there, although she was kicked off the libertarian ticket there in 2015.
How does that happen?
I did
what
find
did you
that
do?
Out.
They took all comers.
She was slut shaming the slut walk, basically.
Oh, and of course, saying libertarian, be like, go ahead, right? Realistically, they'd be like,
well,
sure.
Even libertarians have standards, it seems. but so she made a sudden announcement a couple of weeks ago. She was parting ways from the Rebel, didn't really give a reason why. Ezra Levant, who is the quote-unquote Rebel commander, said he wished her the best of luck in the future. But it seems like maybe, and this came right after some other disturbing stuff going on at the Rebel. First of all, Garth McInnes, who was one of the co-founders of Vice, went on a tear. He was part of a Rebel field trip to Israel, crowdfunded. I don't make enough from crowdfunding for field trips, but that's another story. But he goes to Israel, claims that they're brainwashing him, and the whole trip made him even more anti-Semitic, which
more.
Got him thumbs
yeah.
up from,
David Duke.
And Richard Spencer.
If you don't know, folks, David Duke was like the ex-leader of the KKK at some point.
I think you mean Grand Wizard. Yeah.
Well, their terminology, right?
He has a rank, and it is Grand Wizard. And Richard Spencer, who is a man so terrible he could not get into the Trump Love Fest of CPAC this year.
Yeah. If those people are giving you a thumbs up, there is a problem. Not only that, your boss is Jewish.
Yeah.
Ezra
yeah.
is a Jewish person.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't really know that much about is it Gavin or Grant? Gavin McGinnis?
Yeah.
Mustard
Garth,
McGinnis.
It's
we'll
Garth
call him.
McGinnis.
Garth McGinnis.
Yeah.
G-Dog McGinnis.
Sure.
His
G-Dog.
Twitter handle, because I don't really visit these sites a lot in particular.
You don't?
No, I don't. I mean, I've set eyes on the Rebel, right? But it's like, it has to be linked from something else. I wouldn't go and read it just because, well, I wouldn't go and read it. But anyway, McGinnis.
I'm not allowed to go on SLOvant's Twitter feed anymore.
Oh, are you even blocked?
Yeah, I've been blocked for a while.
Nice.
We talked about it a couple
of
weeks
yet,
ago.
So maybe I'll. I think once you start looking, it's like block. You block. Open source block.
He's wearing a 15 in fairness T-shirt.
We're open sources, man. Yeah, that's right. It's true. If you guys had TV, you'd know. Anyway, McGinnis on his Twitter, his Twitter thing calls himself a family man. He says he's pro the West, guns, life, gay, Israel, and Trump. Now, we had to say Trump at least once, but this is a quote, right? So he says he's pro-Israel, yet he's anti-Nazi, Antifa, feminism, censorship, and Islam, right? So this, if you want to get a slice of somebody, it was actually a really good way for him to do it. It's like, here's what I like, here's what I don't like. But I think the problem with that video, which is what I sort of watched, at least, well, through Candleland as opposed to on, or just read the Candleland thing, it's like, you guys don't sit around and drink a bunch of bottles of wine.
Oh, that one, yeah.
And cigs, and then just start riffing about your opinion of your trip. The most, probably equally as disturbing was Faith Goldie doing this. And it was making the rounds as a little 2-minute thing. I think it was Al Jazeera, among others, where she's filming the call to prayer.
In
and then
Bethlehem.
She says,
yeah.
This is the call to prayer in Jerusalem, Bethlehem?
Yeah, it was Bethlehem.
And then she's like, Deus Vault, people. And Deus Vault is code words among the alt-right. And if you go to Faith Goldie's Twitter, which I did not follow, but I did look at, she has this picture of like the Crusaders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody who's using that kind of coded language and those kind of pictures, that's your way of saying F you Islam and Muslims every time you open your mouth, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So she's not hiding it. But LaVant gets all kind of quiet, right? And it seems McGinnis apologized, right? He did this sort of like backtracking. It was sort of a quickie video at the airport saying, our trip wasn't actually funded by Israel and I don't really believe in Nazis. And there was some other Nazi-ish commentary. Jay Faiza wrote an article. Jay Faiza, is he Somalian descent? I don't know. He wrote an article, The Rebel, was critical of Spencer. And that was the one I actually looked at, the Rebel, in the commentary. Like, I can't even repeat the things that were said about Jay Faiza.
Oh, gosh.
So it's like they have this relationship with the alt-right and seemingly Nazi types, but yet they still sort of piss them off in some directions. It's a really, really strange bedfellows, a whole arrangement. And it's the kind of thing that can't last.
Right.
There's no way that relationship could survive. It's just so strange and so 2017.
The McGinnis thing I kind of found disturbing, but it also came across kind of like a drunken rant. And that's
the problem.
And it also kind of signified why I've kind of always had a thing about vice in the back of my head. I don't worship at the altar of vice like a lot of people. It's something that always stuck out as kind of... I'm not saying that vice is anti-Semitic or any of that, but it just, you know, someone who like this... co-founded Vice, and there you go.
Yeah, but he's listed all his pro and anti stuff, and then, you know, when he's drunk, it's subject to change, right? It's like, drunk uncle says, oh, man, those Jews.
Well, that's exactly written. He's the same guy who posted the thing, 10 Things I Hate About Jews, which was going to get you some attention. The Faith Goldie thing, that was surprising. I actually find that even more surprising because, like, you're going to stand there in the West Bank and like, well, I can't believe there's Muslims here. in the West Bank.
It just makes you seem really naive and kind of stupid.
Yes.
Really. To me, it's like, and at the same time, it also isn't, to me, that isn't journalism. I mean, that's just somebody like on a little tour or a junket of some kind and going, wow, look at this, the Muslims here. It reminds me of somebody going that I was on a bus with up north, and she was wondering where the tents were. She was wondering where the teepees were, where the Indians stayed.
Oh.
I was like, that's what it reminded me of, that moment where it's like, well, you really have no true perspective of how the world works, do you?
Yeah.
Really. And if you do, you're sort of suppressing it to deliver this kind of this content, because it's more content than news. This isn't news. Muslims praying in the Holy Land? Like, that's, you've never seen it before?
Yeah, the whole Das Volk thing, too, is, I mean, it's another kind of troublesome sign, personally for me, because there's a whole language to this that you have to decode. It's like, turning on a TV in Istanbul and then trying to watch things in Turkish and, you know, in foreign languages you don't know. And the real troublesome part is that there are people who know this language, like the red pill thing. I didn't know about the red pill until until Bernier.
It's code.
And and it's all code. And it's like, well, what does language even mean that you have this like kind of community communicating in openly but in secret? You know, how do you know what it's supposed to stand for? And I actually feel sorry for Ezra Levant in this circumstance, because he is trying to create something. He's trying to create a legitimate alternative media voice in Canada. That's fine. I understand that. I don't necessarily respect what he does or what his channel is doing, but I do understand the impetus and the drive and why he's doing it. Some of the same reasons I'm doing what I'm doing, but he's brought in all these sorts of people, and they're communicating in a secret language perhaps he doesn't even realize.
Oh, I think he has to realize, because
he has to realize now.
He might be the most inflammatory person in this realm in Canada, because he's made a whole career of it. People have taken him to court. He's lost, as far as I understand it, every single time when he's said ridiculous, not just salacious, but factually incorrect things about people. He gets busted and pays. But of course, every time that happens, it's like that any publicity is good publicity kind of thing. And then he probably gets more supporters to pay for stuff behind the paywall to listen to people, you know, get drunk and talk about garbage.
Having said that,
caliber of stuff.
Yeah. Having said that, though, there is an interesting profile of Laura Southern on Vice. Speaking of Vice.
Oh.
Then I did. Yeah. And the thing that I notice, it sort of plays into this theory I'm developing about some of the people on the alt-right who are playing parts. And then we saw that looking south of the border this week, we saw that in the aforementioned Tommy Lahren, who went on The View and said, oh, I'm super pro-choice. And then next thing you know, she has a week off from her show on The Blaze.
Yeah.
Because you can't, I mean, they're supposed to be the beacons of freedom and freedom of speech and all that, but you can't go against Big Papa, what's his name, from The Blaze. What's his name?
I can't remember
his name. But so she's in trouble. And then you have this curious case of Jill Colton, who was on CP24 as one of the weekend weather people. And then she kind of packs everything up, moves to Jupiter, Florida, and becomes like super pro-Trump. And you go to her Twitter feed now, and it's all like snowflakes and trigger words. And
sounds like
Trump.
A bit of opportunism going on.
It's
there.
Complete opportunism, because what in this woman's background like makes you think that she's
cloudy
like,
with a few sunny periods?
Glenn
a
Beck.
Chance of Trump. Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck is who I'm thinking of.
There
Big
you
Papa
go.
Glenn
yes,
Beck.
Yes.
But yeah, this seems to be it. It's like, I wonder how many of these people, be they Milo Yiannopoulos, be they Lauren Southern, be they Jill Colton, how many of them are saying what they mean or meaning what
or
they say, because they know that they're going to get clicks and hits by being the most hated person on the
might
alt-right?
Might I add to that, Kelly Leach, Chris Alexander, and Trost, who all spoke at that anti-Islamophobia rally.
Right.
Sponsored by, da-da-da-da, The Rebel. So,
and of course, Chris Alexander has segregated himself from The Rebel now.
Well, he's in the basement anyway, so I don't think it's going to go well for him, but
and we're at the basement of the hour, unfortunately. So that means we're going to have to wrap it up this week. For those of you who were tuning in just to listen to Lloyd Longfield talk about the budget, we apologize. Lloyd himself is profusively apologetic, because if you go on our Twitter feed, he actually said, as soon as the nays vote no, I will come in and give you guys a call. And unfortunately, we couldn't make it happen. Excuse me. So we're going to have to call it a day here on Open Sources. You can go to our Facebook page, Open Sources Newswire. Twitter at OS underscore Guelph and at opensourcesguelph.com.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, I spanner book at the spanner book, and Adam is at Guelph Politico. You can find him. Adam's having a bit of a moment, so I'll be the one to wrap it up tonight. Take care, folks. Join us next week, and you can find us via all the channels. Take care.